Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, this satsang as we like to call it, is for the last day of the year, 2017. January's right around the corner, December 31st, 2016, and tomorrow is New Year's Day. It amazes me always, I don't know about you, how fast things go and the way they go here in our lives. They tend to move rather quickly when you don't expect it. I sat down to do this radio program and I thought, golly, I just got done the first radio program of 2016, it seems. So, you know us old people, we do these things. I have a very special subject for you for today. It's going to be kind of interesting. I last week had an email go out about spiritual acceptance. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see that our monthly offerings are about spiritual acceptance, being able to accept where we are, accept the laws that prevail here and all of that. I go into it in detail in the journal, in the message of the month, and of course in my discourses for the month of January, which are all out now and you can get them if you want. Anyway, I got a slew of questions. It surprised me to no end about this subject of acceptance. So I thought, you know, we'll go into it and see what happens. So I want to thank my sponsors for making this radio program possible, for making the TV programs possible. You have no idea how much I deeply appreciate the honor of being in your life in this way. And if you're enjoying these radio programs, which I hope you are, why don't you start a new, maybe something new resolution that you're going to help support them by becoming a sponsor. This really helps us sustain our radio program and keep our TV programs going too. All of them can be heard and seen on the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. Let's get into the questions. How do I accept what seems unacceptable, says Jane from Santa Cruz. Like, how can I accept the fact of hate being more powerful than love? And I must admit, even in me, Jane. Jane, I admire you very much for being so open and for being so courageous in admitting that hate is more predominant than love in you. Very, very insightful and very powerful. How can we accept what seems unacceptable is your question, basically. It, you know, the things that are going on in this lifetime and in this world are some heinous stuff. And it all boils down to what you said here at the end, that hate is more powerful to you than love. It always boils down to that in our life. So the question is, to you, why is this so in you, Jane? And it isn't just you, it's in all of us. Every one of us on this planet, every one of us that walks on this planet has to deal with this. Why is our hate more powerful than love itself? Well, the reason is because emotionality has overtaken us. Our genetic strain within us is more powerful to us than our, shall we say, state of consciousness. To cultivate a state of consciousness, a person has to go beyond the ideas of their genetic disposition and their DNA. And not many people even know they have genetic dispositions or DNA. They know that vaguely they come from, you know, their mother and their father, and that they have the, you know, the cells, the genes and all of that. But they don't really see it for what it is really all about, because they can't see it, taste it, touch it, fumble with it, think about it. They just can't do it. You can look in the mirror and see resemblances of your mother and your father. You can go and take DNA tests now and find out what your genetic disposition will be in the medical aspect of your life. You can kind of even predict whether or not you're going to live, you know, past your parents' age or not. There's so many things you can do now that we could never do 10, 15, 20 years ago. But that doesn't change anything. You still don't know what your genetic disposition is because it's hard to see. When you're driving the car, it's hard to observe and watch the engine. It's in another compartment. And while you feel the engine driving the car, you can't see the engine because it's under the hood in front of the car, and you can't see it. You can't get out and see it. So it's when the car has stopped and you turn off the engine and you go into the front of the car and lift the hood that you can look into the engine. That's meditation. And Jane, if we don't meditate, we can't see the engine. We can't see what's driving us, what the horsepower is, so to speak. We can't see what the functioning of the engine is. We can't self-examine. So because I can't self-examine and I can't look at the engine when I'm driving it, I've got to slow down, stop the car, and take a look under the hood. Most people, Jane, won't do that. They're not interested in any kind of self-examination. They're only interested in continuing on the way they are and hoping, like a person who's throwing darts at a dartboard with a blindfold on, that they're going to hit, you know, a bullseye. And that's not usually what happens, and that's typically not what can happen. You have to begin to understand that if you're going to accept what you think is unacceptable, you have to look under the hood to see where it all came from. Where is your life coming from, Jane? That's the question. Where are you living from? Where is everything coming from in your life? You can look at your life and say, what's coming from my husband, my wife, my children, my friends, you know, my coworkers, whatever. But that wouldn't be true. That'd only be partial. Because you and I drew these people to us. We actually called them into our life. And as we call these people into our lives, we as individuals then start becoming less and less attentive towards the whole idea of what's under the hood. We get so enamored and so caught up in what's going on outside of us that we forget what's really going on inside of us. So we never really mature very well. We just assume, and I'll tell you what the engine is. You know, I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, well, what's he mean by engine? Your emotions. Watch your emotions. Correlate them with family traits. Did your mother and your father feel this way and this way? If you meditate and you can separate just ever so slightly, you'll start to see the human body. You'll start to see its neurons and protons, and you'll start to see its nuances, both subtle and overt. You'll start to realize that your little personality over here is a matter of congregating emotions within you, that certain emotions have congregated over there inside of you and created this idea and this thing and that thing. Each one has a separate way in which it merges with your life and makes your and my life the way it is. Now, if you can understand that, if you can get that, if you can live in that, then something of the other shore will reach you. And you will start to understand the nature of your life more deeply. If you don't understand that, if you can't do this, then you're at the beck and call of your emotionality, and you're going to find very questionable things coming up in your life. And you'll say, well, how did that happen? And you won't even know for yourself that you were involved in those things. You won't know. God bless you. You won't know. You will think you know, but you really won't know. So you think inside yourself, well, this is some anomaly that has happened or whatever. But you are doing the same things that your parents did. I often find, as I do my own self-examination, the shock and the horror that my emotions and my mind want to congregate in a certain way that's exactly like my father or exactly like my mother. And I look at it and I go, well, how did that happen? Well, that's a stupid question. But that's what Greg likes to ask, because the human always asks stupid questions. You don't get involved in that. You just observe. Never get into a conversation with your ego. Never. It's a losing proposition all the way around. So you just watch. You don't damn. You don't condemn. You don't praise. You don't hope. You just watch. And if you do something that powerful, that kind of initiation will really make your life very meaningful. And you're going to find a deep insight into your life. Jane, you got to work at it. Otherwise, you're just going to be a version of your parents. And that, to me, is a tragedy, because we don't need, in my case, Ed and Jean in this world. We need something unique. And I'm sure you are unique. Or you wouldn't even be asking this question, which you did. And I am deeply grateful. Please forgive me. Namaste. She asked a good question. That was, when it came down the pike, I almost fell over in my chair. The next one comes from Stan in San Diego. You say that we need acceptance where we are, as we are, the way our life is. But it is hard to do that. Are we not all created equal? And should we not have equality where some people may not have enough or may have too much? Don't you think that that's a part of the problem in this world? And we have to accept where we are. What if we don't have enough? And what if we have too much? Stan. Long question, but a good one. Very good one. Stan, it's interesting you should ask this question, because I talk about it in the journal that I write every month. The journal is a little... Well, it's a journal, and you can order it. Go online, take a look at the journal on the Aspire website at aspire.org, and you can read about it. It's a very, very important document that I make each and every month, and it's kind of the flagship of the subject I'm going to be talking about in my discourses and in my message of the month. So they're very important. But besides that, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to, you know, answer your question here. The hardest thing, I think, for any of us to look at and to accept is where we find ourselves. Now, I'm going to say some things that are not going to be popular. And this is what makes Aspire so small in worldly senses, but it's the truth. You came into this world, I came into this world, not to be the Queen of Sheba and the King of Siam here. We came into this world as we are, with karma, a certain karma. That karma brought me to, in my case, my parents. Yours brought you to your parents. And in the years that we have lived with our parents when we were younger, probably little, if any, spiritual intent, spiritual teachings were offered. I'm sure that your parents did not share with you much about giving, much about forgiving, much about how to live a more conscious life. I'm sure it was more about your behavior and what you're going to be when you grow up and your education, and that would be just about it. So you have to understand, you have no spiritual training, much less spiritual, shall we say, indoctrination, spiritual feelings, because everything that is quote unquote spiritual to you probably relates to the idea of religion. And that's too bad, because being spiritual or awakening to our spirituality has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with our heart's intent. Actually, you're finding your deepest heart. You're finding the authentic heart that brings you to the state of love. Now, how does this pertain to accepting yourself where you find you? We are not all created equal. I know Lincoln said that. I know a lot of people want to believe that, but we're not. We're created in our own image and our own likeness via the last life we've had, via the way we live on this earth. We create our own dilemmas, our own problems, our own mishigas. We make everything difficult based on how we dip into our genetic disposition, how we live in our emotionality, and how we come out of that believing and thinking certain things are right and certain things are wrong. How you and I cultivate all of that, initiate all of that into our daily living, becomes the state of our life. We are not created equal, because everybody has different ideas about all of that. And to accept where you find yourself means I have to accept that I'm going to live in this Gregory Penn environment called the body. I'm going to live with, not from, with Gregory Penn's emotionality. Now, I can either dip into that and make that the state of my life, and struggle and scheme and do whatever I have to do to survive in that, or I can transcend it. I can transcend it through meditation. I can transcend it through conscious living. I can transcend it through forgiveness. It can be done. But very few people ever try to do that. Very few people ever see it for what it is. Why? Because we're not interested in that. We're interested in only what tantalizes and soothes our emotionality. Everything is about emotion in our country. Everything. Politics, religion, entertainment, sports, all of these things, finances, are all based in emotionality. So when we're dealing with the difficult things in this world, we're dealing with the emotionality that makes it difficult. And that's where we find ourselves. So here Greg is, here Stan is. Greg has to accept where he finds himself. Here he is. He's a teacher of things that most people ignore, can't understand, do not have any sense of appreciation for. Stan, I don't know what you do, okay? You do, maybe you sell coffee cups, or maybe you're about, you know, your job, your family. Who knows? I don't know you, Stan. But whatever it is, you have things to accept about your life. Now, these things are our limits. We must accept our limits for what they are. Because as we accept those limits for what they are, we learn about where they came from. And that is where everything changes. And we become unlimited. We become liberated. You are here in this lifetime for a certain purpose that is beyond the concepts of your daily life, the things that you think about in your daily life. When you are willing to live beyond your daily life and live beyond the genetic disposition you may have about who and what you believe yourself to be, that is when something of the other shore will reach you. And you will start to feel and sense a new place in your life to live as love rather than to live as fear. I hope that helps you, Stan. You should get a copy of the journal and at least start there and start maybe reading it a little bit. It'll serve you well. I promise you it will. And it will lay the groundwork for what I'm talking about here in January. The mystique of the mystical. Please forgive me. Namaste. Good question. And the last question comes from Raymond. I don't know where he lives. Greg, I desperately feel unacceptable in a social way. I hate it. Wherever I go, it seems awkward. Can this be healed? Raymond, don't worry. It's not necessary to heal it. To be, what was it that Krishnamurti said? To be stable in a society that is as sick as ours is no sign of stability or sanity. This is a crazy society that we live in, filled with all sorts of uglinesses. Don't get involved in that, please. Find the authentic in you. Why not make this the year you find the authentic in you? The thing that you can take with you through death. That element, that essence of love. That sense of being. Not pride, not worldly accomplishment, but that sense of beingness, that sense of great love. That love that takes you into the other shore. Don't be worried socially about what you are. Nobody likes you anyway. Go take a look at the series I did. It's right on the website at aspire.org under media. Go look. You can get the CDs even if you like and download them and learn. It doesn't matter socially what you're all about or what they're all about. What is the meaning of life is, can I be authentic in my heart and let the pieces fall where they may? And I'm not talking about my emotional heart. I am talking about the authentic heart of love that is cultivated through forgiveness, compassion, unconscionable generosity. Because that's what it takes to do a spiritual practice. Unconscionable generosity. To give and forgive yourself and others. And to live as not this idea of right over wrong and good over bad kind of person. But to live in the love that lives within you. Work upon yourself. It is the only thing worth living for. You can't do anything more than work upon yourself and love. Just love. Let love live you. That's what it's all about. And if you can do that, if you're willing to do that, that's when changes begin to really arise. Most of us spend our whole life under the fog of stupidity that we put upon ourselves for the sake of trying to be like everyone else. Be authentic. Be yourself. Be the love of your life. Happy New Year, Raymond. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And when you get to the website, you'll see media. Just click on that. You'll see Satsang with Siraj, and that to be me. I have a wonderful workshop coming up here on the 7th of January here in Monterey. We're going to be beginning our whole year on deathlessness. It's going to be very powerful. And then I'll continue in San Diego and Encinitas on the 14th. So if you're in the mood, come and be with us. Go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look at workshops. And you can learn all about it and come and join me. We're going to be doing our little rock ceremony. I'll be returning your cards that you made out last year, and you'll be making out new ones for the upcoming year. Just come and be with us. It'll be really, really fun. And I will be introducing two new Tibetan pulsing meditations. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day, and please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.